this is Giddy for another edition of Lux's Complaints. No. No, Giddy and...
Lux.
Lux, and this is a new edition of Dirty Bathwater, Dating After 50. We'd love to thank you for listening.
Yes.
Thank you so much all over the world. But we're going to share with you at first some U.S. statistics.
Yes.
But about Giddy, dating.
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, Giddy, we owe them another I'm so sorry because we didn't come on last week.
That's your fault, not mine.
It's my fault. Of course, she has to blame good old Philly. Giddy has to join. Never mind. I'm full of marbles right now. Okay, let's go. But this is going to be an exciting show. Okay, go for it.
All right. So let's share some demographics.
Yay.
So, Professor, what are some demographics you want to share with? What are the numbers? How many single people are there in the U.S.? I mean, we don't know around the world. I haven't looked around the world. But how many are in the U.S.?
It says that on the U.S. that there is singles about 31%.
Right. And the largest number of them are the 18 to 49-year-olds, just before you get to 50. But we're going to break down these numbers a little bit more because we don't care about 18. If you're listening to the show and you're 49, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get here soon enough.
Exactly.
But if you're 18, go find your own group. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, get out of here, kid. No, just
and kidding. You're not allowed to date any of the 50-year-olds because it blocks our, you know, it takes away from our population.
Well, Giddy,
males. Yeah, so okay, of this population, let's look at how many are 50 plus.
Okay.
So what are the numbers for that? How about 50 to 64? That's how they broke it down. How many?
On all ages, 50, okay.
All genders. Yes. Well, men and women, traditional 20, genders.
28%.
Yeah. 28%. 28%. Yes. And we apologize that we're giving you some cis numbers. You know, you probably figured out by now we're straight.
Yes.
And, you know, we identify with our birth gender.
Yeah.
So,
and we, yes.
Yeah.
But Giddy, we get another label. Now I'm cis. I can't just be straight. Now I'm cis.
Cisgender, but okay, the only reason we say this is because when we look at these numbers, we're talking about people that are single.
Yeah.
And when we split it to women and we split it to men, it depends on who you identify where you are, right?
Yeah.
So what we have is 50 to 64, 27% are self-identified as men, that they're looking for women, and we have 29% women. Right? These are all their birth genders.
Yes.
And I mean, I hope they gave the survey accurately. It was the Pew Foundation. Now, when we look at people that are 65 plus, we're looking at the numbers increasing.
Yes.
To what?
36%.
36%, right. And so of those, men, 21%, and women, 49%.
49%.
Wow, what's going on there?
Because they're dead, Giddy. They're all dead. That's horrible. Hey,
can you date a dead man?
That's when we go into VR. No, no.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second.
We forgot about a gay, lesbian, or bisexual. They lumped them all together.
LGBT. So, yeah, we don't have those specific statistics.
It says 47%. Right in the bottom. It says 47%.
Okay, so that just complicates of this. So that's about half.
Yeah.
So we added the 50 plus all together, upward past 65 and up until however long you live, 120 or whatever. Yeah. So we're talking about 74% of the population is over 50 and single.
Single.
They're not all looking. Half of these people are looking.
Yeah.
And half of these identify, you know, as LGBT.
Yes.
So, you know, and that the whole thing, LGBT plus, you know, I may be leaving some people out. So anyways, the point is, hey, we have a large group here, but not everybody's interested. You can be guaranteed about 10-15% of all U.S. people are 50 plus and they're looking.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean? Well, if you talk about 2% of a population in the U.S., you might be talking about a billion people. It's still plenty of people out there. Okay.
But check this out, Getty. So, you know, we just said the 50% that are they're not looking, that even though they're single. Out of the 50%, they even broke it down even more. So 10% of that 50% are only looking for a casual date, nothing serious. And 14% of that 50% is actually looking for an actually committed a relationship. And then it goes all the way down to 26% are looking for, you know, casual or committed. So if you're not confused, I'm confused.
So, Lux, what are you looking for?
I am looking for anyone that's breathing. I'm just
All right. And casual or serious?
I think I would like to go. like I said before, Giddy, I think it's always good to start with kind of a casual
friendship.
Friendship, and then move after that. You just never know. Oh, besides that, you know why you don't know, Giddy? Because now they lower the life expectancy rate to 67.
Why?
Because no.
Global warming? They've lowered it?
Yes. Not 67, 76, I'm sorry. 76. They're up because of the epidemic, because of global warming, because of people.
Okay, 76. Dying of
stress. 76. Right. Can you believe it?
I'll write that down. Okay.
Yeah, so go out there and just get crazy.
Well, the thing too is just, you know, it's complicated when you look for somebody because you don't know. Like, you know, my daughter had said to me, Mom, if you're open to anyone, you know, LGBT, anyone, you'll have much better odds. And I do believe that's true. So if you're not, if you just want to have a companion, and I think that women, you know, we like to have friends and stuff, and sometimes friends develop into something deeper.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I can't speak for men, but I know that women, you know, I think that it's kind of easier for women to go that route, but I think men have a lot more stereotypes and stuff.
Well, Giddy, I think with men, you become to look for your kind of like a best friend, because sex isn't everything, right? Mm-hmm. So you build a relationship with your buddies, and that's, you know, it's almost a close relationship with your buddy, not sex, not having the sex thing, but just, you know, just having that kind of companionship, because it's a lonely world after 50 especially.
So do you need sex to be able to fill that void?
No, that's where
in your heart, you know.
Yeah, You know, Giddy, that's a really funny thing that you brought it up, because, you know, I have my pup dog now, my little Chihuahua. She's a tiny.
And so that fills the void?
It kind of does. Not, you know, not the gross stuff, but I mean, just the love, because.
So you think sex is gross. Okay.
Well, yeah, with a dog and a human. Not to disrespect
with
people.
A dog and a, oh, not with a dog. And
or
a,
an animal.
You
know?
Mean yeah. Having sex with a dog would be gross. Okay. All
but
right.
I mean, I still
I don't know about that. I wouldn't know. So you'll have. OK, tell me, expert.
So I still get that love. No, because when I wake up in the morning,
I know what you mean. I have Leia.
Yeah,
I have a Leia, and she's a sweet pup.
Yeah. And they just show me that, you know, she's super happy and she's excited. And we take our little walk together and have a cup of coffee together. She has.
You have a
snack.
Cup of coffee with her?
Well, she doesn't want.
I'm me. Impressed.
I have a cup of coffee, and you know, she gets in the morning. She wakes up super excited, and like plays with me or like scratches my face. She wake me up, and that kind of, you have that connection there. So yes, I would rather have a
just like your ex, right?
Yeah, just like your ex. my ex would slap me. No, I'm just kidding. Wake up, you moron! No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I understand what
you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, except my pup, you know, I got her as a rescue dog. I've had her for a couple of years. And so she's going through dementia pretty strong now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, at night, she just wanders around and she keeps, she has to repeat the cycle from, you know, she's claimed my office. And so she goes from my office and she goes to the kitchen to the back door. And if she gets it wrong, she runs back and starts again.
Oh, whoa.
It's just really weird, but she's trying to remember. It's really sad. And then last night I saw her just sitting in the living room looking at me, but she didn't even recognize me. And she's like, I'm lost.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the people that have to go through that with the love with, you know?
Yeah,
like
I had a father-in-law,
being?
But I mean, he basically, the problem was he would get in a car and he would just go driving and we'd have to go look for him.
Oh, God. Well, you know, and you always hear stories that, hey, grandpa's not around. He just took off and walked off. We don't know where he is. Mm-hmm. It's just wild. That's why we really got to appreciate the time we have with our loved ones, our friends.
So don't wait too long, people.
Don't wait. Yeah, don't wait too long.
So there is 74% out there, but mm-hmm. that depending, I mean, we all have our own interests. Yeah. So that number gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But even if there's 10%, or let's just break it down, even if there's that 1 or 2% out there, that's like a lot of people that you can choose from. But you can't be that choosy.
No.
You know, like Lux, he says, as long as they're breathing, well, that helps, you know?
You know, Giddy, it's so funny that you brought that up because I have a friend, right? He's been straight all his life. And he just recently, this last year, we kind of not suspected something, but he's always been really open-minded, right? And now he just contacted us like a few weeks ago. He's my closest friend of mine. And I didn't really know. And he just told me, you know what, dude, I am dating. And he didn't say it out. He just said, hey, look at the people that I'm dating. So he's like dating everyone. And he's over 50. He's dating like, everyone, everyone, everyone.
Well, he just
category.
Wants a companion. He's just open. Yes. But again, that's exactly what my head daughter had said. Yeah, she goes, if you really want a relationship and you really want to, you know, valuable people, don't judge them based on their gender, you know?
Yeah. And you guys remember, because we only have a certain amount of time. And so if you guys even have that feeling or want to experience, go do it.
Or,
don't judge
or
yourself.
Race or anything.
Race or, yeah. Or any,
none of that. Yeah.
Except, you know.
For animals. I know. You know, species. Know. Yeah. Stay in the human genre.
Stay in the human. But there's so many. And don't, you know, don't put these barriers on you because you could.
What about mammals?
No, dolphins. But getting none of those. No, although read
I'll
that
just
book.
Test it.
You know that book about that guy who fell in love with the dolphin?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no. And and they even said that other famous guy was in love with a pigeon. They do a car, Tesla. But no, because you guys, it's all about you right now and your wonderful years. You don't know if you have a day, a year, a week. If you want to experiment, if you want to do your thing, do it. Because there's many other people that feel the same way. And you guys just have to, I mean, don't jump on somebody and say, hey, I bet you're, no, don't do that. Feel it out.
Have some class. All right. So you like the whole excitement of the virtual world stuff because you say you want them breathing, but these avatars are breathing. They're just representative. Once we're talking about, you know, we're not talking about the robotics now. No. We're talking about people that assume an avatar.
Yes.
And they're in these virtual, you know, worlds and places.
Yeah. And it's really exciting right now. And I'm telling you guys, that whole metaverse where the virtual reality worlds is a lot closer than you guys think. And I always say this movie, because this is a movie the closest that represents what we're going to move to. And it's very close is the whole Ready Player One. If you haven't seen Ready Player One yet, God, we should get money for this, Giddy. I'm always talking about it.
Or you could, you know, I rewatched Surrogate the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. I mean, yes. There's a lot of movies that are out, you know, about this subject. In fact, you know, I was going to say to some folks, we have a lot of things to talk about. We may not get to them today.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks about those dramatic movies and stuff.
Oh, I
but
love it.
I, you know, I was a member of Second Life for a really long time.
Yeah, and people.
I mean,
got married,
I have
right?
property and I have everything in there. So I thought if someone wanted to do a meetup, you know, if there's, I don't know if there's any Second Lifers out there, but I'd be interested, you know. And I created an avatar for Lux.
Yes.
So if you wanted to meet us virtually,
Yeah. Giddy, talk about that. I don't think people really, especially in our
well, you know, there's a lot of people that in Second Life, a lot of them are baby boomers. Because a lot of my friends were about my age and we all started around the same time. A lot of people were 35 plus at the time, and now that was 2000. And I know we're all up in our age now.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of my friends have kind of, you know, they've grown as it's still, I looked it up the other day. It's still one of the more popular ones, especially for older demographics, you know, Facebook, you know, with the avatar, someone said to me, you know, your avatar is much better than Zuckerberg's. And I said, well, I like to think that I look better than Zuckerberg too in person, but anyways, you know,
you do, Giddy.
But, you know, so they were talking about how creepily his, you know, avatar was initially. They said he revamped it. I don't know. But still, I mean, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort, but we were all baby boomers and we had some really good looking avatars. And I knew friends who dated and everything in there. And then they met, they had real relationships with people.
Yeah.
In other words, they ended up, you know, hey, if, you know, meeting them, long distance relationships that developed and he wants some coffee, I'll be, you know, come in your area soon. And they end up getting married.
Wow. You see, and that's, and if those of you guys who don't really still understand this whole concept, it's kind of like you create a persona, right? You create this character that, and you make it look the way you want it to look. And then you go into like a game, a virtual reality.
You can shave off all that extra weight.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want. You could, it, like, it's a whole brand new world. It's like going into a game, but you could actually control it and not manipulate it, but create your own world. It's really cool. And a lot of people are moving towards this. There's a couple of apps right now besides what Giddy, but Giddy, talk more about your experience, because I don't
Well, there was also
really
there's also VR chat. There's a lot of worlds that are out there, but VR chat was much more for younger people.
Yeah.
But Second Life, you know, I had friends. I mean, there's clubs you can go to and you can dance. Mind you, it's not as populated as it was in its heyday, but there's still lots of people that are out and about. You know, I mean, there was parties. You know, I used to go to a Jimmy Buffett, you know, island and listen to Jimmy Buffett music, and, you know, and people would just go out there and dance and socialize with each other. We would talk about real stuff. All right. And I was, at that time, I was married, so I couldn't date. Okay. I mean, I had some good friends. My friends dated, but I couldn't date, you know, then because my husband wasn't approving me to date many.
Well, who, Giddy, you can't date. Even though you say this is not part, I mean, this is.
Well, you know,
a
some
game,
people, but I knew there were some people that were married and they dated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but, you know, a lot of people who were married, they just brought their partner in there. You know,
so guys,
and hung out.
Yes. Can you guys imagine? So you go in there and you meet other people, but they created a persona or a creature or a person, and you interact. So you're still having that whole interaction.
We created our own club.
Yeah, clubs.
You know, I had my own fashion line.
Yeah, people go shopping
for avatars.
Yes, people go shopping for their avatars. People buy cars. People buy boats. People go on vacations. And it's not this dinky thing. It's really like cool and elaborate.
Yeah, I brought Lux in to see my world.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then she even took me to a party. And I showed up and I was a squirrel, which is silly. But so I showed up at this party and I started meeting other people that were listening to this cool music of this band, and the band, I forgot which it was, but they were actually having a party. It was packed with people. Well, I guess it was like 20 or 30 people there, but yeah. I was at a party.
But you know, I want people to think about, like, okay, you go to a little cafe.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to a little cafe. How many people at a cafe like live music? About 20, 30 people normally for people our age. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't really go to places that are like 100 people packed anyways. Many times I go to a small acoustic club. And, you know, and there's been clubs that have 50 in it. And that if you're in a club in a place if packed for 50 or 100 avatars, which I've been at these live events, and then you go into a real life event, that's significant in real life, and it's significant in a virtual life too.
Yeah, because you're actually you're not meeting bots. You're meeting, well, there's some bots there. They usually kick them right out when they find out it's a bot, but you're meeting actual people. But again, remember, you create your own persona. So
yeah, I'm sure people think I'm weird by now.
No, you know, this is a way that we're moving towards. I really think so. I think people are good. Well, no, I'm not going to start saying something because they're going to say, Lux is nuts. But we're really going towards that. But anyway,
you are anyways. Yeah.
I am. Anyway, if you guys want to check this out, I'm just going to briefly talk about it just a little bit because I think we should talk about the movies. I think that's more interesting than anything else. But
well, let me, you know, how much time do we have, by the way?
We are at, I think we have 10 or 15 more minutes left.
All right. So today I got up early. I only slept for a few hours. And so I decided to go and watch one of the movies on the top 10 movies for people over 50.
What were you doing, Giddy, that you only slept a few hours?
I was trying to sleep while my dog woke up.
Oh,
no, my dog woke up. And then I woke up. And so, and then I heard an owl. I found out what a hornbeck owl was. It goes, ee, ee, ee.
A horny owl, you said?
It's like, it's a hornback or something. I don't know anything about owls. I heard, hoo, hoo. That was probably the female. But then the male goes, ee, ee, ee. I looked it up on the internet. Ooh. I Googled it because I'm like, what the hell's outside my window, you know?
They're getting
and
down.
I figured it out at 4 a.m, right? So I was awake then, and so I just started looking up things, and I go, maybe I should watch a movie. Now, the top ones were the Mamma Mia series. This was with Meryl Streep, and Pierce Brosnan was one of the actors. In fact, I found out that Pierce Brosnan is in a lot of romantic comedies.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize that. You know me, I watch a lot of scary movies and all that. So this is, you know, and I write romantic comedies, but I don't really watch them that much, which is kind of weird. So I think that this is a switch that I'm catching up on these movies. Mamma Mia, I actually saw at a meetup group with singles.
Yeah.
These were just singles, people over 50. And I went when the movie came out. And so there's, okay, so there's a lesson to be learned from all these movies. These are the top 10 movies, and I'm going to go through them in a second. But I bought a couple books. If anybody wants to get them, they're by Leslie Halpern. Leslie Halpern, Halpern. All right. The books are 200 Love Lessons from the Movies and another one called Real Romance, The Lover's Guide to the 100 Best Date Movies. So we're going to kind of go through this with these lessons. What's funny is I looked up some of these movies, which was just the top 10 movies for people over 50 romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And some of them were in her book. I go, that is weird. And what wasn't in her book was the Mamma Mia 1 and 2, which is funny because so I came up with my own lesson. What lesson can we learn from that movie? Do you know what that movie's about? You probably don't, right? It's a musical. It's basically Meryl Streep. When she was in college, she dated 3 men.
Yeah.
And she got pregnant from one of them, but nobody knows who.
Which one it is, yeah.
And then the second series continues that with her daughter trying to find out or whatever. Or I think the first one is her daughter gets married. But anyways, it's 1 and 2 are very much the same thing.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, sleep around and you won't know who the father is. So the lesson, my lesson on that is date one guy at a time.
Yeah, not three.
If you're still fertile, if not, whatever, I don't care. Hey, it doesn't matter. If you've got menopause, don't worry about it. Do your thing.
But Giddy, who made these rankings? Was it a male and female or was it just a female?
Because these movies are directed by males and females. A lot of females directed these movies, by the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just one of those. Look it up. It's just I sent it to you on your phone.
Oh no, I'm looking at it now, and I'm not agreeing with it at all. But then again, that's why I said this must be a female top 100.
But you don't know. These are just top 10.
Top 10. I've seen all these movies. Dragging my feet. Dragging my feet. But I have seen all these movies. But you know what, Kitty? Yeah, and I'm like, ugh. But
okay, so I watched today. Enough Said.
Enough Said.
Which was 2013, and that was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which was interesting. It was also Catherine Keenan, I believe her name is, and the leading actor was James Gandolfini. Anyways, so it was basically this woman who ends up, okay, she ends up befriending someone's, you know, she befriends the ex, right?
Okay, got it.
And she's the masseuse for the ex, and then she finds out all this dirt about the guy she's dating, and that goes badly. And so the lesson is, tell the truth, have self-confidence. If she had confidence in the first place, she would have made it, because she liked him personally, but she was getting all this in her, and that his ex did not know that she was dating him, but she was getting all this dirt, you know, behind the scenes, being the masseuse from his ex.
So is this your top number one romantic?
Well, this is number, Mamma Mia 1 and 2 was 1 and 2. And then Enough Said was 3.
Well, is this your list?
These are not my top. But what I'm trying to give you an example, there's a lesson in every run of these romantic comedies. Now, you can go out in the world and you can go ahead and date a lot of oafs and ogres and frogs and have to learn these lessons, or you can watch a movie at home and prepare. So this is training as we get ready. And so, I know a lot of women like to drag guys to romantic comedies.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so, so women, if you don't have anybody to drag, go watch this movie and watch these movies. And maybe you'll pick, and guys, if you want to know how women think, watch these romantic comedies.
Totally. You are so right. You're right, Giddy. Yeah, it's because.
Well, let me tell you about the next one.
Sure.
Now, this was one that I dragged my, no. I dragged my daughter to see Midnight in Paris in 2011.
Midnight in Paris?
It was an excellent movie.
I've never seen it.
I would recommend it to, who does it say that was in that movie? Do you have
it? I don't see it in the list. I just see
Right. Midnight in Paris. Let me tell you a little about it. It's 2011. A screenwriter goes on a vacation with his fiance to Paris. He's disgruntled with his life because everything he's writing, he's successful, but he can't really, hit the sweet spot anymore. So he's like, where's my creative genius,
Yeah.
And so then he starts, it's all a movie about your imagination. He starts daydreaming, and then he's transported into the past. He meets all these great writers and musicians and stuff. It's an excellent movie. Very nostalgic and stuff. Very much Paris, just wonderful. And so what he learns lessons from all these, like Hemingway and stuff, from all these writers and from Josephine Baker, all these, famous people. Basically, he learns to leave the past behind.
Wow. That's key, Giddy. Yeah, say that again.
Leave the past behind.
Yes. Yes.
So actually, this one wasn't on the list. I remember I added it because I read hers thing, because I was going through a list of books and I thought this kind of fit in with.
I love it. I got to see it.
Yeah. So that is that. That's a beautiful movie. Midnight in Paris, 2011.
Giddy, we are at 5 minutes or four minutes and 53 seconds.
Okay. And so then a few others are Pierce Bronson movies.
Yes.
One was a Danish comedy. It was in 2012. I'll have to look it up. Love Is All You Need. I have no idea what it's about. I couldn't find it, but I will look for it. And then the next one was Married Life by Pierce Bronson. This is a 2007. What's interesting about this, it's a tangled triangle, a love triangle, in which a man wants to murder his wife.
Oh, God.
He doesn't want to divorce her because he thinks that'd be too harsh. Anyways, but his...
So best, just kill her.
But his best friend, who's Pierce Bronson, wants to actually steal her away. So he has a crush on her, and he doesn't know it. I don't know how that goes, but I'm going to watch that. Lesson... For me, the general lesson, even before I watched it, one man's pain in the ass is another one's prize.
Yeah. That's
because,
that's
the one guy wants to murder her.
Literally murder her, really?
I don't know. I'll have to see how it goes. Obviously, I don't think she's murdered. Okay. Yeah. And then there's some nostalgic old movies like Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn called Death Set. Anyways, it's a workplace romantic comedy. An IT guy comes into the library and makes a connection with a woman who's bored of her boyfriend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, even though that was in the 1950s, it's still relevant today, right?
Yeah, it happens. Everything happens. Just different clothes and different music.
And now here's another one I want to watch, and then I'll mention the others, I guess, next time. Larry Crown. It's a Tom Hanks produced movie. He co-produced it with Julia Roberts, and actually Bryan Cranston was in it. He's Breaking Bad, right?
I love that
2011,
guy.
2011, a middle-aged man goes back to college. I don't know what happens, but it's a romantic comedy. I'm interested.
I'm down. Giddy, now I know what I'm doing tonight. I got a date with my pup dog. Okay, keep going.
You know, and then they have a couple of the movies. I guess I'll write about and blog. You know, like The Love Punch, a British comedy with Emma Thompson and Pierce Brosnan again. Oh, wow. And then they have they go back to 1963, The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
That's a great movie.
I don't remember it. Ronnie Howard wants to get his dad married because he's now a widower. Little Ronnie Howard, right?
Ron Howard, guys. Ron Howard, one major.
And so the number 10 one was one I want to watch. 2004, I have not seen it. A Richard Gere movie, Shall We Dance, with Jennifer Lopez and Susan Sarandon. Oh, wow. A man follows a woman on a whim to a ballroom dance class.
These sound really good.
It's like a stalker thing, right? So anyways, I don't know what the lesson is. I'll have to come back and let you know. But anyways, I'm going to start going through. I'm going to slow down. This is just to introduce it.
Yeah.
And then we'll start. You know, maybe we can go inside Second Life or someplace or virtual world. And we can have a movie watching party where we can talk about these movies. It's like Oprah had a book club.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of these movies talk about them at least. You know.
You could even meet us and talk to us too before.
So, you know, send us an email and I'll send the email information again.
Yeah.
And let us know. But anyways, I think that's all the time we have, right, sir?
Yeah, we have a minute left. So anything else, Giddy? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it. I think, oh my gosh, I rushed through all this stuff.
It was exciting. I loved it. I think people loved it. But we didn't talk about VR dating again. Let's talk about it next time. Just a little baby.
Well, let's see if we can get some people in with us.
Yes.
If we post some information on how to, maybe you'll jump in with us sometime.
Yes.
We're serious about this.
We definitely are. Okay, we're almost going, so let's do our bye-byes.
All right. Hey, I'm Giddy saying goodbye, and you are?
I'm Lex saying bye-bye, too.
And Lux, what are you going to do this week?
I am going to hang out with my pup dog.
Are you going to watch movies?
I'm going to watch movies and have a good time.
All right. I'll have to drag you into the virtual world of Second Life or some virtual world.
Yeah, I need some kind of, something like that.
Some kind of outside stimulation.
Yes.
Just to break your head away from all the routine work stuff.
All the happiness.
All right, you've been listening to Dirty Bathwater, Dating After 50. Thank you for making us number 2. But we're number 1 in dark comedy. I mean, because we're the only ones sick enough to make fun of dating. Really, yes. Me. If I could lay down beside you, I would. When nothing really matters, that's all I wanna do. I hope that you are safe and that I will see you soon. If I could lay down beside you, I would. Talk on the phone every night. Love to hear your voice, not sleeping well. And I know that you're right, but you should know it. You've been gone for way too long now. If I could lay down beside you, I would.